You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey. Today we'll be talking with two people who became friends in retirement through a volunteer project that they worked on together in the Philadelphia area and later wrote a book about. The book is called The Paths We Cross, A Story of Perseverance, Friendship, and Accomplishment. It's written by two gentlemen, Noam Eimer and Bruce Sadaloff, who we'll be speaking with shortly. And it's designed to really share their story and to provide some inspiration and advice for people who are contemplating life after retirement. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Happy to be here.
So Noam, tell us, how did the two of you meet?
Well, it all started with an ad that my wife showed me that she saw in the library, and she asked me to take a look at it. And it sounded like an interesting thing to do because of various reasons. So I decided to, after thinking about it, I signed up for it. I really didn't know what I was signing up for, but except that I would be preparing taxes for people on a voluntary basis. So, to keep the story short, one of the things that was part of the program was the training. And the reason for the training is because we needed to be certified as tax preparers for the ARP tax aid program, basically pass a test. And if we did, then we could become tax preparers. So in January, a month before the tax season starts, Typically, there is a class, and I was a rookie at the time with a class of about 25 new people who showed up, and that was a banner year. And these people, as I was, really were career people, successful in their careers, and they decided to do the same thing. So anyway, I went to training, and I was sitting at a table with two other people. One of them was Judy, and the other one was Dave. Judy is an ex-IBMer, and Dave is an engineer and also a lawyer. And I myself is an engineer and really an IT professional. So we all the 25 people were the same type of people as we were. And after 2 weeks of training, we took the test and we passed it. And then the district coordinator who ran the sites in the Delaware County, Pennsylvania area, went ahead and announced all the people that passed the test and then assigned us to different locations. So Dave and I were assigned to Havertown. Judy was assigned to another place closer to her home. So anyway, as the class was breaking up, a fellow rookie came over and introduced himself and said, I'm Bruce, and I also would be working in Havertown. Well, we started talking a little bit, and we decided that since we three rookies in Havertown should get together and share our experiences, learn from each other, and see what we can learn from others. So basically, that's how we met. That was the beginning.
Great, thanks. How does the ARP tax aid program work?
Well, I'll explain that as best I can, and I have to put a caveat right at the top. This is how it was in a pre-COVID world, because who knows what it's going to be like going forward. But assuming that wasn't the case, the AARP tax aid program is a program that they partner with the IRS. And it's a program to prepare tax returns for primarily senior citizens. But their target is people 60 and over at low to middle income. There are certain reasons why they can't limit it to that, but that's more detail than you need to know. But that's their target. And the way that it works is volunteers are recruited via the AARP website. If people are interested, they can go onto the AARP volunteer portal and register for the program, and then they would be interviewed by someone. Their application would be routed to the district based on their zip code, and someone from the district would talk to them about their ideas about joining the program, their qualifications, things like that. And once they are deemed to be a good candidate, they would be invited to training in January, which Noam spoke about. Again, that's regional, kind of local to where the district is. And through the month of January, there is training provided and a certification process through the IRS that allows them to be able to prepare taxes in the AARP Tax Aid Program. Each district has various locations. They're usually churches, schools, libraries, senior centers, community centers, anywhere where someone was willing to donate space for those 2.5 months that the volunteers and the taxpayers will be using it. And once that is all set up, they open for business on February 1st and off they go. It's a great program, but all of that work that I just described is really a grassroots effort, because the recruiting can be done by word of mouth, could be done by advertising locally, or again, people who might stumble onto something in the AARP website or the AARP magazine, anything like that, that would vehicle to connect people to the program.
Great, thanks. And what attracted each of you to the program?
Well, I'll tell you from where I come from, I was really, when I retired, I was looking for really not to retire, but to do some consulting. Basically, I was mad. The last job I had was managing projects for Cigna. And after I retired, I decided to do it on my own, like, as we know, a 1099 type work. And I was waiting for projects. And I did get some contacts. And however, everybody wanted a long-term project. And I retired, so I wasn't really interested in long-term projects. I was willing to do short-term, something like 6 months on a project, full-time, that's fine, but nothing long-term. So anyway, while I was waiting for the right opportunity to come about, to come around, my wife, as I said before, she showed me an ad. She showed me more than one thing. She showed me an ad in one of the senior centers that needed computer instructors. And I, in my past life, as you probably read, was involved in teaching. So I thought that might be a good idea. And the other one was the AARP Tax Aid. So instead of waiting for the consulting job to come about, I decided, okay, this looks like it's very interesting and it might be of interest to me. So I applied for both. So in that regard, I really was accepted in both positions in the way that I was instructing computers, internet, Word, Excel, internet, social networking, those kind of things. And on the tax aid program, I was tax preparer to begin with. And really, the motive behind this is really to try to help people directly. I didn't just want to go out there and volunteer to stuff envelopes. I wanted to do something that is direct, meaningful, and I could see the result of what I was doing. Really, the next motive would be the challenge of it. I really wanted the challenge because most of my career, I was really in a learning mode. When you were in engineering and IT, all you do is keep learning. IT changed every 18 months. So you always learn new things. So I was in that mode, and I wanted to continue to be in that mode. So being in a tax aid and computer instruction, this is always a learning experience for me as well. And tutoring is something I liked. So all in all, I thought that was a nice thing to be, and that's why I joined the tax aid program.
Great, thanks. And Bruce, how about you?
Well, certainly a lot of what Noam said would be the same as far as wanting to help others and continue learning. But I had the good fortune to be able to retire at a really young age, 50. So there was still a lot for me to do at that time. And in my 30 plus years of working, a lot of my work involved accounting work, working with numbers, working with people in the human resources world, doing accounting. And I really did like working with numbers. And I had always had kind of a fantasy about working for the IRS. I don't know who would really have a fantasy about that. But to me, it was something I thought would be interesting. And that was really no longer an option. But I had retired at the end of October 2006. And by the end of December, I think my wife had had enough of asking me what was I doing here every morning. And she found an ad in a local newsletter for the AARP tax aid program. And I mean, it was like manna from heaven for me, because it was exactly what I wanted. I did taxes for friends and family over the years. Nothing difficult, basic stuff, but I did enjoy doing them. And this was a great opportunity to keep doing that in addition to helping people that really need it the most.
And Bruce, what do people need to know about volunteering?
Well, I would say, especially for something like this, I mean, this is probably very typical of any committed volunteer job. You need to be dedicated. You need to think of it as a job in the sense that people are relying on you. They're depending on you, either your co-volunteers or the people that you serve. So you do have to be committed to whatever volunteer position you're undertaking. There shouldn't be any expectations beyond the service you're going to provide, meaning you shouldn't be in it for a lot of recognition or any kind of financial rewards. It's really the rewards you get from the help you're providing. And as I became further up the chain of command in the program and management of first a site, then as a district, you have to be able to motivate other volunteers who are working for you. And it's not that easy when you're not able to offer them financial incentives. All the people who do this kind of volunteer work pretty much understand that, but they still need to be motivated in other ways than typically how people would be motivated if they were in a normal working environment.
So what led the two of you to write a book together? What was it like to write a book together?
Well, first I'll tell you what led us to that, and that's really an anecdotal story in itself. I think it was in the fall. Now, Noam and I would start working together very closely every year around September, October, when we had to start collaborating on organizing the sites, updating computers, installing software, all the technical stuff that goes with, you know, running the program, and all of the management stuff. Where are the volunteers going to work? Which sites are they going to work at? What days are they going to work there? And we'd start doing this in the fall. And I still remember it was probably October or November. No, I don't remember the specific story, but we were exchanging. It was on the phone and we were talking about some volunteer or maybe even another anecdote about a client. And we were laughing about it. And I said to Noam, I said, you know, we could write a book about this stuff. And really just a throwaway line that you'd hear in any kind of conversation. It was not with the intent of meaning anything, but instead of Noam just laughing about it, he said, you know what? That's not a bad idea. So here we are. That's the short version. Yeah. And then what was it like writing the book? Well, for Noam and I, it was a lot of what it was like working together for 12 years in the tax program. Very structured, very planned out, very project oriented. Once we decided we were going to do this, we went through a couple of different iterations of how it would look. At first, we thought, well, we'll write a book about our time in the tax aid program, because we really could have written an entire book on our experiences in the program alone. But then we thought about what you first asked us, how did we meet, and the differences in our background, and how did Noam, who was a soldier in Israel as a teenager, cross paths with Bruce, who was playing sandlot sports at the same time Noam was a soldier in the Israeli army in Philadelphia. So we thought, you know, we do have some interesting convergence stories. And then I think to some extent, our individual stories that led us to the time we met in the program are interesting also. Certainly, I feel that Noam's stories are amazing. But I do think what I have to tell just about a city kid, you know, getting to where he got is also will be of interest to enough people. So that's what it was. So we laid out a plan of we would write about the various chapters, which you read. We laid out timelines for when each chapter should be finished, things like that, and then the plan to go ahead and try to get the book published. So that's really how, what led us to write it and what it was like to write it. It was a great project. We enjoyed it immensely in the year plus that we did it. Wasn't always smooth sailing, but it was a very gratifying project.
So I'm curious, this one's for both of you, what do you know now about retirement that you didn't know before?
Well, I'll tell you about that. First, that retirement can be fun if you choose to do the right thing. And that's what I found out for myself. Again, I wasn't planning on doing being a tax preparer or being in any kind of management position. But when you find the right thing, it is fun. And the second thing is the ability to control the pace. And fortunately or unfortunately for me, my pace actually increased from September till May of the following year or April of the following year, because we had a lot of work to do to make this happen in the program. Plus, I was also being a computer instructor. So, yes, there is an ability to control the pace, but not necessarily slow it down. The other one was basically the volunteering end of things, the understanding that you really can create value to the community. And the reward, as Bruce mentioned, is really, really, that was beyond expectation. I really did not expect the kind of rewards I got from the people that we prepared taxes to. I mean, it was when I was doing taxes, preparing taxes for people, we were engaging each other. I was actually tutoring a little bit of the people about tax law while I was doing the taxes. And the rewards were really exceptional. That was a real surprise to me.
Joe, I have to say, Noam hit the nail right on the head. I had no idea what to expect, not only as far as the tax program, but what to expect in retirement. I mean, I had some ideas. I shouldn't say I didn't have any idea what to expect or I wouldn't have retired. But like Noam said, I didn't know the degree to which you could still be rewarded and feel that sense of accomplishment. Just that great feeling that you've helped people, because I did a lot of that in my working years in human resources and that area, but it really is a tremendous sense of achievement to be able to do this. And I would not have expected that before I retired.
So what are the best things about life in retirement? And what do you find are the biggest challenges?
Well, if we're talking about the best things, to me, number one is have more time with my family. I was really busy doing many things. I have a full-time job. I also had a few entrepreneurial ventures going on. I was on business trips. And so now everything quieted down and I had more time. The other thing which was interesting was really the forming of really true friendships with no strings attached. This is like you meet people, you want nothing from them and they want nothing from you. And then you can form real, true friendships. And that's really what happened to us, to Bruce and I. And also Dave is in the mix as well. Dave, the one I mentioned in a training at the top of this conversation. The other thing is that you could basically choose what you want to do. That's nothing like a job that you are being assigned things to do or taking responsibilities. You can choose what responsibilities you want to take. And of course, you can set setting up your own schedule is one of the big things. And I am not the morning person. And finally, I was able to exercise this right to sleep a little later. And last but not least is really significant stress reduction. I know during the tax program, there is stress involved because there's a lot of work involved and a lot of responsibility that comes with it. But once this is over, there's a total relaxation here and just having fun. And for example, writing the book has been a total fun doing it. So that's it. As far as challenges go, is how do you occupy yourself between projects? What do you do the rest of the year? And what do we do now that there is no tax program, actually? Well, then I found something that I thought there was, that I know other people have been doing that as well. So what I'm doing now is I'm studying piano. And I know that could be done for the long term. And I'm really proud of myself because I just completed the beginner's course online. And I can play things. So this something like that is, it goes forever. So there's always something to fill in the gaps.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And the other thing is basically another challenge is that I tend to get involved in things that are in my wife's realm of responsibility. For example, the kitchen. If I try to even walk in the kitchen these days, I get an argument. And obviously, she runs the house. So if I try to do anything, well, I get an earful. So I got to be careful about that. So I try to take care of the outside of the house. So these are some of the challenges that I'm faced with. So I don't know about anyone else, but I know I am.
How about you, Bruce?
Yeah, and a little bit different. My wife welcomes me helping in the kitchen. We collaborate on cooking a lot, something I probably could never have envisioned either. But that's worked out really well. I've known stated a lot of the things that I agree with. For me, at the top of the list is the freedom of your daily schedule. I'm a big exercise fanatic, and to be able to do that any time of the day, although first thing in the morning has always been my preference, but when you were leaving to go to the tax site at 6 o'clock in the morning, that wasn't always possible. But being able to exercise, recreation, travel, time for family, all those things are just wonderful about retirement, to have the time and flexibility of the schedule to do that. Some of the challenges, as I said, when I first retired, I was kind of an invader in the house all of a sudden, because my wife had been home for several years on her own, getting the kids off to school and then having the time to herself. And pretty sure that's why it only took about 2 months before I was in training for the AARP tax aid program. But you do need to be prepared on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis for what you're going to do during those times. We've done lots of traveling that I would have never have done prior to retirement. Yeah, the best things are the freedom, and the biggest challenges are being prepared on a daily basis.
Great, thanks. And last question, what advice would each of you give on retirement to someone listening who's planning to retire soon?
Well, first thing I'd say, listen to your spouse. They know you and they can come up with great ideas. Again, I was planning one thing and my wife came up with ideas that just turned it around. The next one is basically set goals for yourself. Those goals that will fulfill your needs. Think about what you'd like to do that you couldn't have done before. Maybe a hobby, maybe something else. But set your goal before you retire. And the last thing I would say, have a can-do attitude. I don't believe that just getting older, diminishing anything, you can take on a challenge and you can be successful.
Amen. Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly with all of that. Certainly you need to have a plan in place in advance. Don't have the retirement party at work and then the next day start thinking about what you're going to do. And you do need to prepare for what I consider to be major lifestyle changes, although most of them should be good. The change, again, to your routines and to the routines of the people whose space you're now sharing with them. And what you've done prior to retirement, there are obviously skills that are transferable that you can use in your retirement ventures. Look for something that will work for the skills that you already have as far as the volunteer side of things. Like for me, it was the accounting, the HR, the working with numbers, managing people. Transitioning that to the tax aid program was really seamless for me. As far as fun things, you probably read in the book that 3 years ago, I started taking drum lessons because my whole life I was one of those people annoyingly called a dashboard drummer. And I've been taking lessons. I play on my own to music all the time. It's one of the most fun things I do and have ever done in my whole life. And even though I started doing it at the age of 61, it wasn't too late for that.
Great. Well, thank you both. I know it's going to be very helpful to many people and very sound advice. And we wish you all the best of luck with your book.
Yes. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
On our podcast, we try to bring you different types of people who are living interesting lives in retirement and have experience to share, in addition to the authors that we often talk with. And this is a case where two people who met during a volunteer activity and wrote a book about it. And they shared some interesting lessons that I think can be very helpful. One being purpose. You could hear that certainly upon their retirement, this volunteer activity, the AARP tax-aided program, provided a sense of purpose and took advantage of their skills and interests to help others. And then talking about retirement life, they highlighted a number of key things that I always find helpful, and one being a sense of purpose. Second, really having the right attitude. Make sure you've got that can-do attitude. And thinking about retirement not just as a time of relaxation and fun, which it can be and should be, but also as a time to embrace challenges and set goals. Have that really can-do attitude to make it the life that you want it to be. And then also, as Bruce noted, prepare for a major lifestyle change. So it's not just the financial side, but really, how are you going to manage your day-to-day and how do you want to really invest your time wisely? And then finally, I thought it was fascinating to hear that they independently chose to take up new pursuits that involved learning something new. In one case, piano, in the other case, drums. So once again, always remember the fun parts of retirement as well. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, and we hope that you found this episode useful. You can hear all of our episodes on our website. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.